Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
From the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show, serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on a Monday evening in the Kia Studios after a week off. Good to be back in the mix and in the fold with you. Lots going on this evening. Asking you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in your car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station, the show. Odyssey app's the way to go. Put that on your device today, right? Smartphone, Alexa speakers, tablet, your LaserDisc, your fax machine, Commodore 64, Palm Pilot, whatever your device is, just download it to be able to catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow us there. As always, best way to be a part of the show, give us a follow on our personal Twitter pages. Mine would be at JMCH316, and of course your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass producing the show, you were off all last week too, right, Jarvis? You were not here last week, I believe, right? You were off as well? Okay, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. So the show is all back together. The band is back. I think we missed a couple of things last week. We missed one or two things. So we got a lot to get into with you here this evening. Falcons had the day off today, so 1 week of training camp in the books. We've got our first padded practice tomorrow. We've got a scrimmage on Saturday. Don't forget, we will be live broadcasting from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, be myself and Chris Goforth. What is the broadcast? Noon to 4, I believe. I believe is what it is. Is it 12 to 4? I think something like that. So close enough for government work. But anyway, we'll be out there come Saturday afternoon with you as the Falcons will have their open practice. And a week from Friday will be preseason game one. So lots of Falcons news. Obviously, we're in the mix now. All your training camp coverage right here on the home of the Falcons, 92 on the game. Michael Rothstein will join us. He, of course, the beat writer for ESPN. And he will join us here a little bit later on in the hour to talk some Falcons football with you as we have 1 week in the books. And I guess injuries, COVID protocols, I guess that's the main thing, right? I mean, that seems to be the main thing is who's not there, who's in COVID protocol, or who's hurt, or what have you. So we'll talk to Michael coming up a little bit later on in the show. Braves with the night off. First time that they've had a day off since July 15th, right before they started back from the All-Star break. Thursday, July 15th was the last day that they had off. They had the 9-game road trip that we were out for part of that, 5-4. Brewers series over the weekend, lost 2 out of 3 there. So as we sit right now, the Braves are 4 games back in third place with the Mets and Phillies. And by the way, Philadelphia will be in Washington to take on whatever's left of the Washington Nationals. and the Mets will be in Miami to take on whatever's left of the Miami Marlins at this point. Whatever those two teams have left. Do they have many major leaguers? Soto's been unbelievable. I think Soto's got the most home runs since the All-Star break. Outside of that, what's Washington right now? No Schwarber, no Scherzer, no Trey Turner, blah, 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 blah. Marlins got rid of Duvall that we have here. Starting Marte is gone, blah, blah. Everybody's gone. So, again, we'll play the Nationals and Marlins a good amount of times, the Braves will, but so will the Phillies and the Mets. And you didn't really handle your business as much against the Phillies and Mets because that was your last big chance. You got one three-game set at the end of the year against the Mets, and then the series right before that will be the three-game set against Philadelphia. So not much left head-to-head, but the Braves will start in third place, four games back, with potentially Mets and Phillies picking up another half game against two very bad baseball teams. So we'll talk about the Braves' moves coming up here in the next segment and my thoughts about all of it. Very quickly, too, Hawks had their draft. Fine, great, okay. I mean, now we're in free agency mode. We may hear by tonight. Some reports said John Collins, 4-for-120. Some people are saying they're not close. I don't know what to believe. I believe John Collins will be an Atlanta Hawk. I think he's going to get a max deal, and we'll go from there. And that's my assumption. There are reports now that Trae Young is about to sign a 5-year, $170 million extension. Good. Deserves every bit. By the way, with the caveat of the, what do they call it, the Supermax, right? There's a Supermax stip in there, whatever like that, that could potentially push it. I think the number I saw was 214 or something like that. Don't quote me directly on that. But there's a Supermax stip that they're putting in all of it. So, it becomes, first, second, third team, all NBA. You can start to kick in the Supermax stips and stuff like that. So, anyway, that doesn't surprise me. Worth every penny of it and no big deal. And John Collins, frankly, whether we like it or not, I don't think the Hawks have a choice. 4-for-120, all right, it's what you got to do. Like it or not like it, it's what you got to do. It's business. So we'll keep up to date if we get any breaking Hawks news throughout the show. Atlanta United, not a great last couple of matches. Guess it is what it is. Good for the U.S. men's national team. They win the Gold Cup. They beat Tata, and the Mexican squad. And has Tata been fired yet? Alexa Lalas and everybody was like, yeah, if they lose the USA, he's going to get fired immediately. Has he been fired yet? I haven't seen that he's been fired yet. Maybe he hasn't. I just missed it or something. But I've not seen that he's officially been fired. Because some people were like, oh, can he come back? I don't know. Sure, he wants to come back to that dynamic. Because the guys he didn't agree with before are still there. Right? So I'm going to come back. I know he won, but at the same time, all the problems and issues with the guys that he had before are still here. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. But good for the U.S. men's. All right, Jarvis, we've been back 7.5 minutes, right? Is it too early to do a who's the a-hole already?
Of course not.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to be sure. I got to get this off my chest. So Thursday, busy day I had. I had traffic court down in Atlanta. I had to go up to my daughter's orientation or school. So Thursday was Roswell, drive to downtown Atlanta, then drive from downtown Atlanta up to Canton. All right? So plenty of time in the car. And I'm listening to Dukes and Bell, and most of this is the Braves game. It's the final game against the Mets. And Braves are going to win that game on Thursday, and they go 3-2 in the five games against the Mets. Fine. As I said, in a normal year when the Braves are up 3 or 4 games in the division, when they're up, 5-4 on the road would be terrific. But you haven't gained any ground. They went 5-4 and were leaving Gotham in the same exact spot they were when the All-Star game started up. They haven't done nothing. They've done zilch. They made their moves and this, that, and the other. But I'm talking about they haven't gained a single game. They had the 9 games, and that was your big swing to really start to get some ground made up. Because now it's scoreboard watching. Now you got to watch the scoreboard for what everybody's doing. And I understand we still got a little ways to go. But so I guess I made the mistake in hindsight of listening to the post-game press conference with Brian Snitker. And this isn't even so much on Snitker. Do we have the softest media on earth in this town? Does anybody Braves-related ever ask anything probing or interesting. This is what I got from the post-game press conference. So, and I don't know who the person was that asked the question. Dave O'Brien, Mark Bowman, whatever. I know it wasn't Gabe because I recognize Gabe's voice because we talked to him all the time. But after that, everybody just kind of sounds the same at that point. Somebody asked Stitt the question. This is how they phrased it. All giddy and excited. Stitt, you got to be feeling pretty good. You went 5-4 on the road trip, and you're only four games back, and you guys should be feeling pretty good right now as you come home for a weekend series against the Brewers. And I'm like, wait, did I just hear that right? So we're giddy and excited because the Braves haven't done a single thing to chip into the lead and sit in the exact same spot that they did on July 11th. This is July 29th, and they're in the exact same spot that they were on July 11th. And the question to the manager was, oh, you got to be feeling pretty excited. Huh? Pretty excited you haven't done nothing. That was your best chance to make up some ground because you got the teams head-to-head. And, of course, what does Sticker say? Well, yeah, I think we feel pretty good and all that. And I'm like, oh, my God. Then another question was asked, and it took me – I didn't pay attention to the question and answer because my brain was so phased at that point after hearing such a stupid question. So after that, the next question after the question that my brain had to recover from was, yeah, Sid, can you give us your thoughts about Hank Aaron since we got Hank Aaron? And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Does anybody in this town ever ask any tough questions of the Atlanta Braves? Ever? 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 Does anybody? Does anybody probe or question anything about this team? Hey, you ought to be feeling really good, huh? Hey, tell me about Hank Aaron. Why don't you ask him about his dog? Why don't you ask him about a family reunion that he had? Why not? Is anybody in this town ever going to ask anybody of the Braves any real questions? You know, you want to ask Snit a question about where they're at without being giddy and excited about, you got to be feeling, in exact words, you got to be feeling really good about, feeling really good, you haven't done a single thing. In 18 days, you haven't made up one game. And what's your best chance to close the gap? Because you had 9 games against the 2 teams that were in front of you. And you in the same spot. And now you're in 3rd place after the weekend. So what the hell have you done? Oh, but all getting excited. Does any of these guys ever ask a real question? If I had to cover the Braves press conference, I'd blow my brains out. It's the worst. There's nothing softer in this town than the people who cover the Braves. I'm going to say it right now. And Gabe's our buddy. I like Gabe. I don't really hear him get to, I'm going to say it. The vast majority of people that cover the Braves are the softest group imaginable. Ah, it's all good. It's all giddy. Yay! Look at what we went 5-4. Doesn't mean anything. It means zilch. And you had a mediocre weekend. You had a 2 out of 3. You lose to Milwaukee, and now you're still behind. And now you're truly in 3rd place. At least before the series started with the Phillies, you were tied with them. Now you're truly in 3rd. Do any of these guys not get it? Is everybody afraid to lose their spot at the buffet in the media room or what? Is that what it is? Everybody's afraid to lose their spot of getting free food and free buffet. It is the softest, mushiest garbage. I listen to that press conference and I'm like, they should, honestly, why even have one of these? Why even broadcast this? Why even broadcast the press conference? You're not going to learn anything listening to one of these post-game press conferences. Awful. Awful. All right, also tonight on the show, I had to get that off my chest because that just frustrated the crap out of me driving around. I want to take off my shoe and throw it out the window after hearing all that. All right, we are also, too, tonight going to be joined by WWE Hall of Famer host of the new My World podcast, Jeff Jarrett. The one and only J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T-T. Jeff Jarrett is going to join us a little bit later on in the program as well. Had a chance to catch up with the Hall of Famer. I actually recorded this last week with Jeff, but good stuff, and really had a fun time talking with Jeff. And let me tell you, Jeff and I were joking, man. We could have gone about 2 hours. We had to condense a lot of stuff in about 13. Even Jarvis was like, man, it's a long interview. I was like, trust me, you have no idea. We still talked a whole bunch. And Jeff, by the way, Jeff is like, hey, man, let me know. I'll come on anytime. He's like, man, let's talk some football and this, that, and the other. I'm like, cool, man. Come on, man. We'll do it. So we're going to hear from the WWE Hall of Famer, Jeff Jarrett, a little bit later on in the show as well. All right, I'm back. I'm aggravated. You know, I got to listen to this nonsense about Braves postgame press conferences and everything like that. When we get back, speaking of the Braves, how do we feel about what the Braves have done to strengthen this ball club? Can they still make a run for it? Well, that's Braves Baseball with you next. Chuck Reed, back with you in the Kia Studios Monday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on the John Chuck Reed Show. Back with you this week here in the Kia Studios, 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, at JMSH316, at JarvisD90. We'll hear from Michael Rothstein in about 20 minutes. For right now, talk some Falcons football with you. A little bit more Falcons, a lot of Falcons talk, top of the hour. Falcons flyover as a training camp underway. Off day today, first padded practice coming up tomorrow, and a week from Friday will be preseason game number one. So we'll talk to Michael Rothstein, who covers the Falcons for ESPN.com, coming up in about 20 minutes, as I said. Braves off night tonight. Braves head to St. Louis for three, and then come home for the Nationals, and then a day off, and then three with the Reds. So look, say what you will about the Braves, but I give them credit. They didn't stand pat at the deadline. They did make their moves. You know, honestly, I like the moves that the Braves have made. Look, the Braves were not going to shop in the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox aisle, right? They weren't getting Scherzer, and they weren't getting Rizzo and things like that. You know, even the Giants, you know, they picked up Chris Bryant, and you know, everybody went loaded up, right? Everybody went loaded up. But relatively speaking, I think the Braves definitely did help themselves. I don't think there was any negatives about what the Braves did. Rodriguez, they brought in from Pittsburgh. He's a nice reliever. Look, he's not going to be your closer, but he's another guy to have. It's sort of like what Shane Green gave you. Remember, Shane Green was a closer. He was an all-star closer, as a matter of fact, for the Tigers. Comes over and, you know, last year provided some good setup work. That's what you're hoping for. You know, Duvall coming back, Jorge Soler. Here's the only thing that I'll say negatively, if you will, about what the Braves did, is from a profile standpoint, they certainly stayed true to what they've been doing of late, and that's try to be a big-time home run club, right? Duvall and Soler, who, by the way, Soler had 48 homers a couple of years ago to lead the American League, right? He has like half of his home run total for his career in 1 year. So take the entirety of his career with Kansas City, the Cubs, and now the Braves, and in 2019, he hit half his career home runs, where he hit 48 homers, I believe it was, that year. Just a crazy number that he put up. So him and Duvall are profile guys like what they've had. My only problem is I wish they'd have gotten a little bit more of what they need. But obviously they feel like, you know, their profile is we play in a park that we feel like we can hit some home runs and let's mash it out and see what happens with it. And that's what they're going to do with it. But I like what the Braves did. It's unfortunate that we can't shop in some of the same aisles. But then again, how many teams are really shopping in the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox aisle when those teams really want to spend money? When those teams want to spend money and do what they've got to do, they shop in those aisles. But we talked about, for instance, the Chicago White Sox, who are actually right behind the Braves in team payroll. They picked up Craig Kimbrell. Well, that's not a cheap contract. You got money on the books there. You know, the Giants are not in a small market, but they at times play, when they're winning, they'll spend like a big market team. When they're not winning as much, they won't spend as much. And, you know, you saw, remember a couple of years ago, the who was it that they had? They had Evan Longoria and guys like that they brought in, all the old guys. Remember, they brought in like all the old guys to come in and be a part of it. Now they're winning. And when they win, they go out and spend money. Well, they went out and grabbed Chris Bryant, and, you know, he may walk, but still, nonetheless, you go and bring those kinds of big moves in all of it. So I think the Braves have done good by the sense of adding pieces, fixing areas of the team that they needed. You did good work in your bullpen. Starting pitching, to me, I think you can get by with all of it. And by the way, Bryce Wilson made an interesting comment, by the way, sort of what I've been talking about. I don't know if anybody saw. Bryce Wilson was on, I think it was 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. And Bryce Wilson talked about the idea of not getting as much of a chance to get himself right bouncing between AAA and the big club, right? And isn't that what we've been talking about? And I understand why the Braves do, because the Braves are in win-now mode. You can't really let rookies kind of work themselves out of their funks and things like that, because you got to win games right now. But he did basically say the same thing that I've been talking about, of not getting a chance to work some things out and this, that, and the other. So I'm not mad at the Braves for that. Just it was what it was, and you know, you had to do what you had to do to get yourself better. So do I think the Braves are a better ball club now? Yes. Would I've liked to see them profile the type of player that they brought in a little differently, at least from an outfield standpoint? Yeah. And you didn't give up a whole lot. You gave up Austin Jackson, you know, in the Duval trade. All right. Well, let's face it. You got Contreras, who we've already seen, looks like he's a major league catcher. And what's his name? Langoliers, kid down in Mississippi, who's big time prospect. All right, he's down in Double A. So you got young guys in the pipeline that they really like. You got a guy at Triple A and Double A that will be with the club sooner rather than later. So you got guys that you really like at that position. So, you know, the Jackson era was over. Bryce Wilson, all right, who knows? You know, again, these pitchers and things, there's none of those guys that would have been off the books as far as I'm concerned. So when you look at what the Braves gave up for everything, hard to argue. What's it going to mean at the end of the day? You know, the interesting thing about the NL East is they, by and large, didn't do anything real big and splashy. You know, the Phillies made a couple of moves. Gibson and Kennedy and a couple of guys. They, you know, tried to get some guys to help their rotation and their bullpen. You know, Mets made a couple of deals, but nothing crazy. What, a Baez and Williams and things they traded to the Cubs. So nobody really went out and made a big-time splashy move in the NL East. If anything, the story of the NL East was the sell-off of the Washington Nationals, and we already know the Marlins were going to sell off anyway. But obviously Marte didn't sign his contract extension with the Marlins, so he got moved to Oakland. I would have really liked to have had starting Marte, and the Oakland A's didn't give up much of anything for him, and you knew he was going to be on the go, but nonetheless, all right. So I guess it is what it is. So nobody really loaded up and separated all of themselves. But right now it just feels like that no matter what the Braves do, which is why I would have liked to have seen the profile of what type of player. Like, give me a guy at the top of the order who gets on base. That's what Marte would have been. Yes, he's an outfielder. They needed outfield help. Okay, but Marte fits more of a profile of what they need. Because right now, they don't need more home run hit. Between Dansby, Riley, Freddie, and Ozzy, they hit plenty of home runs. Braves are not shy about hitting home runs. You know, Dansby with a couple of homers the other day. Riley's been red hot. Freeman's been red hot that we talked about. They got plenty of guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark. They need guys who can get around the bases with speed and score in different ways other than trotting home on a home run. By the way, you know, Marte's got the most stolen bases in baseball since the All-Star break. He had the most stolen bases in the month of July, I think, too, if I'm correct, if I saw some of those awards right out of all of it. That's the kind of, I wish they would have profiled a little bit differently. As I said, the acquisition of Rodriguez from Pittsburgh, I like that move. I think that's good. Not so much because you're getting yourself another closer or what have you. Will Smith's your closer. But, you know, if Will Smith has pitched couple of nights in a row and you don't want to use him a third night in a safe situation, could you use a Rodriguez? Sure. It's the same flexibility that a Shane Green gives you, right? When they picked up Shane Green as a trade deadline move, what was that, in 2019? When they picked up Shane Green, I believe, at the trade deadline? Same type of thing. You go out and you get a guy that's been a closer, so you know he can handle some high leverage spots. You maybe don't ask him to be a closer, but if you needed a spot, you know, and that sounds weird to say, a spot closer position, okay, this is a guy who can do it as well. And hopefully maybe he's your setup guy, because Chris Martin to me has just been mediocre at best this year. You know, it feels like every time Chris Martin has come in, he's hanging on for dear life right now. So while I think the Braves are a better club, I don't know if they profiled the players that I think make the biggest difference for them. Are they better than they were before the trade deadline? Yes. Because now you're playing at least guys that are competent major league players. You know, Soler at least has been a competent major league player. Duvall, obviously, besides crushing the Braves this year, we know can be a competent major league player. And obviously, you know, the trade that they made earlier to get Jock Peterson, I think it's paid off well. I think he's been a good solid pickup that they've gotten for him. He's been fine. So now you got to put your foot on the gas. Because after that 9-game road trip and the three at home, you didn't do nothing. You know, you played a whole bunch of games that you wiped off your schedule. So you cut your amount of games that you have to make up off your schedule and didn't do anything for it. And now you got to start making work, you know, on the road. St. Louis, very good? No, but they're good enough. And you're going to St. Louis. You know, the Reds are in second place. You'll have them at home next week. All right. Well, let's see what you can do against them because they're a decent team. Got a whole bunch of games against the Nats and the Marlins and stuff and the Orioles. Okay. But you also, at the end of the month, got the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Giants, right? I think the Giants come here. So you end the month of August with the Yankees, Giants, and Dodgers. How much fun is that going to be? Better make your hay now. But I give AA credit. You know, he did at least something to try to make this ball club better. All right, we'll talk some Falcons football next with Michael Rothstein, the beat writer for the Falcons for ESPN and ESPN.com. It's all next. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Back with you here on a Monday evening. Sports Radio 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live here on this Monday evening. First week of Falcons training camp is in the books. Guys have a day off today. First padded practice tomorrow. Scrimmage on Saturday. We'll be broadcasting live from there. We got a game a week from Friday. We're finally cranked up and into football season. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to the Atlanta Falcons beat writer for ESPN, Michael Rothstein, joining us here. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Rothstein. And, of course, you know, ESPN.com, where you get all of your latest Falcons news and notes. As always, Mike, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes here this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be on.
You know, one of the things, and admittedly, I was on vacation last week, so a little bit disconnected from what was going on, but it is interesting. You get a very kind of direct and, I guess, you know, kind of a no-frills, no-nonsense approach from Arthur Smith. I got to say it's refreshing, but what were sort of your takeaways and just kind of listening to what Coach Smith had to say this past week?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised because that has been everything that Arthur Smith has been up to this point. And you saw that in how he approached things. You saw that in how he speaks when he talks with the media. And it, none of that surprised me. Nothing I've seen out of Arthur Smith has even raised an eyebrow of like, oh, I didn't expect that. Maybe the running of laps thing, but I get it and I understand why, and more teams do it than not. And it's, listen, if it creates accountability and a health and penalty, cutting down penalties, then no player is ever going to complain, because if you see that result in the season, then you know that it's legitimate. And the thing that I've noticed the most being out there, and again, I think everybody that maybe is listening to the station or maybe not, but this is my first year covering the team, so for me, all of this is new, but listening to players, it sounds like it's just a lot different. There's a different vibe. There's a good energy around this team right now, and listen, is that going to win or lose your ball games in September, October, November, December, and January? I don't know one way or the other, but I think that if you're buying in and you're building a closeness, that can help down the road. And that's a credit to Arthur Smith and what he's been able to do so far, John. And I, by the way, I understand totally being on vacation, because before this, or I guess last week now, I was off the map for 3 weeks. I was in Europe and it was awesome. And honestly, I completely unplugged. I turned my work phone, which I'm talking to you on right now, I turned this on twice in 11 days and it was glorious.
Yeah, trust me. Sometimes you just got to just turn it off and get away. So I know the feeling completely. The Caleb McGarry situation is interesting. And, you know, obviously coming out of Washington, he had heart issues. And in his first year here, there were some issues that kept him out of being able to play. But it's been very hush-hush and very quiet about this latest injury. How concerned should we be about Caleb McGarry? Short term, long term, I mean, what do you think that we're looking at as far as his prospects of returning?
Yeah, I really hate speculating on anything medical, John. I mean, that's just the truth of it, because there's just so much in that. And I feel like I sound like a coach there, because I always used to, when I covered the Lions, I used to pry Jim Caldwell and Matt Patricia and like before information like that. And you just realize that you can't set timelines and timetables. Arthur Smith said he hopes Caleb McGarry will be back sooner than later, and from the sound of it, it sounded like, you know, that Caleb McGarry needs to understand the expectation and the standard, and that, to me, raised my eyebrow, because that generally, in my experience, means, hey, like, you know, maybe it's conditions or whatever, I don't know. To that, let me just put it that way. I don't know what's going on with Caleb McGarry, but the fact that Arthur Smith is saying sooner rather than later, and he was very upfront about the other two guys who were on top, McEnroe, and I'm blanking right now. It's been that type of week. But the other guys, DeAndre Sennett, like, they're not coming back. You won't see them during training camp. Who knows when we'll see them next. Caleb McGarry, he gave a different answer to, so at least it would seem like there is some hope that he will be back at some point soon. If you're running Jalen Mayfield at right tackle, and that's the thing, if you're Caleb McGarry, you probably want to get back as long as you're healthy as soon as you can, because there's a new scheme, there's new continuity, and right now you've got a rookie play in your spot, a rookie they invested a third-round draft pick in, and that is this staff's guy.
And
that,
Mike,
to me says, hey, you want to get there, because if he plays well once Pats come on in a preseason game or two, he might just, you know, really make a push for a job. And that's something that, for Caleb McGarry, once he can get healthy, is something he's going to have to pay attention to.
Yeah, and Mike, to follow up on that, to your point, you know, we heard that, you know, hey, listen, every spot is a competition. Every spot is open. This has got to be, I mean, I would think Mayfield right now, look, I mean, you don't want ill will on anybody else, but when you're given an opportunity, man, go take it. And my guess is that, you know, he's going to have as good a shot as anybody to win that spot, whether McGarry's ready or not ready.
Yeah, I would think so. But let's also be honest. I mean, Matt Ryan's the starting quarterback. He's not losing his job. Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage are the starting receivers. They're likely not losing their jobs. Grady Jarrett's not losing his job. I love when coaches say every position's open. I love that, just because it's like, yeah, some positions are open. The back-end roster spots are absolutely open. But let's not play around like Matt Ryan's not going to be your starting quarterback. And to Arthur Smith's credit, it's not like they're actually doing that. But I just always laugh when I hear people say that. It's like Grady Jarrett's going to be the starter at the, you know, he's going to start on the defensive line. Deion Jones is going to start at linebacker. AJ Terrell, who's having a fantastic camp so far, early, but fantastic camp so far, going to start at corner. Like, there's probably five or six starting jobs in my opinion that are probably really up for grabs at this point.
Michael Rothstein joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Falcons beat reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. Kadri Allison obviously going to get a real opportunity here to be a part of the mix at running back. And, you know, one of my big questions in the offseason, Mike, has been, you know, what sort of the number of carries that Mike Davis is going to have. He's, even last year, starting 12 games, I think the total in 15 total games he played was like 150. So it was not a big number. How much do you get the sense that they really want to kind of go by committee? Do you think they want to see kind of somebody shake out? How do you assess sort of where the running backs are after the first week of camp?
It's tough to gauge on running backs, much like offensive line and defensive line. So we were talking about Caleb McGarry before. There are no pads on yet. So until there are pads on, until there's hitting, being able to really seal blocks, being able to really get in holes, you're not going to know. That said, I think when you look at the running back situation, Mike Davis is their number one running back. Now, does that mean he's a 300-carry back guy? I would be pretty surprised if that ended up being the case. Do I think he gets the large portion of carries? I do. What happens after that? Kind of anybody's guess. Cordarrelle Patterson will get in the mix somewhere. And I think Quadri Olison will also get in the mix somewhere. He's looked good so far, but again, with that caveat of no pads, you know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you can only do so much. You're not bringing guys to the ground. So, you know, sometimes when guys, and this is for fans who come out to Flowery Branch practice, like, yeah, if a guy breaks off a 10-12-yard run, that might look really cool, but also understand that it might have also been a 1-yard run if they were going live,
right?
You know, if there was hitting involved, because you can't necessarily always see how a hole develops or doesn't develop or how quickly it'll be there. But I really like what I've seen from Olson so far. I think that he's shown a lot of potential. I think this is really a potential for a breakout year for him. He's going to have the opportunity, at least as the way the roster stands right now, and it's going to be really up to him to be able to do that. Now, they do have two undrafted free agents in Javian Hawkins and Caleb Huntley. Arthur Smith has talked about both of them and been positive about both of them. So it is entirely possible one of those guys wins a roster spot, but I feel like Olsen's done enough and looks good enough at this point that he's going to have a role on this team. Now, I'm just going to, you know, I'm not going to make these comparisons forever, but I'm going to go back to my experience covering the Detroit Lions last year, because if you asked me during training camp what the running back room would look like, I would have said one thing. And then they went out and they signed Adrian Peterson, and it completely changed the dynamic of what Kerryon Johnson's role was going to be in that offense. this is a running back room where it wouldn't shock me if I saw them sign a running back. If they don't love what they see during the preseason, I think it's still very early to make a prediction like that, but that's a position where there is a lot of talent on the street. So, you know, maybe this running back room isn't fully done yet. Maybe it is. We'll see, but I think a lot of that will be determined over the next 4 weeks.
So, Mike, I realize we're still probably 10, 12 days, whatever, from first preseason game, but are you getting any sense from Arthur Smith about how they're going to approach preseason games as far as how much they want starters to play? Or, I mean, obviously with one less preseason game, it kind of changes up the way that we traditionally think about this. Has he sort of given any indications yet about how he's going to approach the preseason games themselves?
John, it's funny you actually asked that, because I asked that of Arthur Smith yesterday, and he said, oh, I'm really interested to see what every team in the league does. He didn't really tip his hand to what they're going to do, whether, like, preseason two is going to become preseason three, or preseason three stays as preseason three, because you have that bye week, so if a guy does get a little bit banged up, like, you have some extra time. I don't know what they're going to do, and I can't really predict that at this point. He's given no indication of what their plan is going to be, other than they know they have to get Matt Ryan maybe a little bit of work in, but how much work do you get him versus A.J. McCarron and Felipe Franks? And also, just, you don't really need him out there because he's, you know, a seasoned pro. I would say the same thing for Grady Jarrett, the same thing at this point for Calvin Ridley. Like, you don't need to play Deion Jones. Like, you don't need to play some of these guys, especially because, and I think we talked about it on prior appearances I've had, you look at this roster and, like, the depth isn't there at some positions. So, like, to me, AJ Terrell, while he's a second year player, maybe you don't play him a ton because he's also your best corner, and your best corner by leaps and bounds. So I think you're smart if you're Arthur Smith with how much you use guys in the preseason, and he's hinted that that's what it's going to be, but I would imagine you're going to see guys play. But how much and in what games, I couldn't fathom a guess, and I think a lot of teams are going to be kind of feeling it out as the year goes. But he did say he had a plan. He just decided not to share the plan.
Well, listen, hopefully he'll open up and be more gregarious about what he's going to do. So follow him on Twitter at Mike Rothstein. Follow him at ESPN.com for all your Falcons news and notes all through training camp and during the season. Michael Rothstein, join us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Mike, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for hanging out with us here. We'll continue to talk with you as we move through training camp and actually get to those preseason games that we're, you know, excitedly awaiting for.
Hey, preseason games, man, they're something.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mike. Thanks. We'll be back. John Chuckery, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.